greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here. First time that we were here since it's, I guess you call it a new congregation. Our different congregation, there's a few holes here, and I'm sure you all feel that. But it is good to be here, and I know some of you have been at Tyrone recently, and if you haven't been there for a while or haven't been there at all, you're welcome to come worship with us there in Tyrone. I've been blessed to be here this morning so far in the devotions, the Sunday school discussion, and I trust that God is receiving honor and glory this morning from this service. Sometimes, at least for myself, I have to remind myself that I often come to a service like this looking to see what I can get out of it. And I don't know that that's all wrong, but we need to remember that we are here to honor and glorify God, not just what we can get out of it, but what is God getting out of this service this morning? Is he receiving honor and glory from this service? And I trust that he is and will continue. Our Sunday school lesson, we talked about Thanksgiving. We talked about, there's some discussion on complaining and how easy we complain and how easy it is to forget to be thankful. We get accustomed to things that we have, and as I prayed about what message I should bring this morning, I preached a number of Thanksgiving messages, and debated on a message on the sin the sin of complaining, I think is what it was. But instead, I chose to bring a message on the ingredients of a thankful heart, and just what it is that gives us a thankful heart. Thanksgiving is coming up, and most of us will probably sit down to a Thanksgiving meal, and there'll probably be plenty there, plenty of food. We enjoy plenty. Maybe sometimes we do struggle to make the money reach around. The paycheck doesn't always reach, but for the most part, we live in a land of plenty. We have a lot going for us. And if you can turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8, we're going to start looking at a few verses here in the Old Testament, and then at the last part of the message, we're going to look at the last few pointers, look at the New Testament for some ingredients of a thankful heart. But just as an introduction here, I want to kind of compare ourselves to what the children of Israel enjoyed. The children of Israel also had lots of reasons to be thankful. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we are too often like the children of Israel. It's easy to be thankful when we feel blessed. It's easy to feel thankful when there is a lot going for us. I just want to read here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 10. It says, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." We're going to stop reading there for right now. But you can see that they had a lot of reason to be thankful and to be grateful and give praises to God. But he goes on to say in the continuing verses here that it is when we are blessed that it's the easiest times to forget our God and what God has done for us. Let's continue reading in verse 11. He says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy father knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, and he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And we'll stop reading there. But it's very clear, and this was before this even happened, they got to the land and the warning went out. Now watch out. When you get there, and there's plenty, and you have all these good things going for you, and you live in this land of plenty, beware lest you forget God. And we live in a land where God has blessed us immensely. And in my notes, I just paraphrase verses 7 through 9, and we could read it like this. For the Lord our God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and corn and fruit trees, a land of wine and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones can be quarried, and out of whose hills they may drill for oil. And you could put different things in there, but you know, we live in a land of plenty. We live in a land where food is wasted tremendously because there's such an abundance of it. It gets outdated and we just throw it out and there's more that comes in. Or we get too much at a restaurant, or maybe it's not quite to our liking, so we just set it off for the waitress to take and we get more. And it's just, we're so accustomed to that. There's so much. We are called to bless God for his bountiful blessings to us. In verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. God expects the same out of us as he did the Israelites. He expects us to bless him. When we find ourselves blessed by his hand, he expects us to bless him. The chance of us forgetting God in our bounty is as great as it was for the Israelites. And so on Thursday or whenever you sit down to your Thanksgiving feast, it's going to be easy for us to forget them. Even on that very day, it's easy for us to forget how good God is to us. It's a serious thing to forget God. Verse 19, we didn't read 19 and 20 yet, but here he talks about the seriousness of forgetting God. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. It's a serious thing to forget God. It's a serious thing to forget God in our bounty, in our luxury, and in our blessing. We find it difficult to discern between a need and a want when we are blessed so much. I think it was talked about as a little bit in our Sunday school class, but we find it difficult. What is that balance between what our needs are, what our wants are, and the more that we are blessed with, the more difficult it is to sort through all that. I don't think we need to live like we live in a third world country, but we seriously need to think about what are our needs? What do I spend money on? What are the things that I need? What are the things that I want? And I believe we need the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We too often contribute our plenty to our good work ethics and our good teaching, our wise decisions. Verse 17 talks about that. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. That comes so close home to us. Because we contribute our wise decisions and things that we have done for the reason that we are blessed so many times. But forgetting God results in death. Well, how can we learn to be thankful? How can we learn to be grateful, not only over this time of the year, but year round? How can we learn to teach our children to be thankful and have a spirit of gratitude? We'll go into the main part of the message. First of all, We learn to be thankful when we verbally express our gratitude. Now you say, wait a minute, that sounds backwards. And yes, I agree that verbal expression of gratitude needs to come from a heart of gratitude. But I'm starting with our children. I think it's a good way to teach our children to be thankful. It's a good way to teach our children when a child is young, when he is taught to go and tell that person that gave them that piece of candy or that fed them that meal, simply go teach them to go and say thank you for that. Because that is going to instill something in their minds that what they received was from somebody else. It wasn't something they did, it wasn't something they earned, but it was because of the goodness of someone else. And we as adults should also verbally express our thanks and our gratitude to each other. There's two quotes that I came across in my studies. One is, silent gratitude isn't much use to anyone. Silent gratitude isn't much use to anyone. Another one, feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. You see, it's important that we express our gratitude. We show our gratitude. We share that with one another. It is important that we have a heart of gratitude, but we also need to express it. God wants us to verbally express thanks to Him. First of all, turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. First Chronicles chapter 29. First of all, let me just give you a little background to this, the verses that we're going to read. But in chapter 28, David is gathering the people together, and he explains how it was his desire to build a temple for God. But God said, no, David, you're a man of war, of bloodshed. I do not want you to build my temple. Your son can do that. And so in chapter 28, he gathers the people, he assembles the people together, and he says, this was my desire, but God said, I can't do it. So David got everything ready, and most of us know the story, how they gave offerings and they collected, and David did everything he could for his son Solomon to build the temple. And in chapter 29, they're collecting these offerings for the temple. And I just want to read in chapter 29, I'd like to read verses 10 to 13. Here, this is a part of David's prayer of thanksgiving to God. And I think we can learn something from it. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. You see, David verbally gave thanks to God. And God expects that out of us. He wants to hear that out of us. David gave God his rightful honor and glory, and he took no credit for himself for these things that they were able to offer to God and the plenty that he had. In John 11, we have the story of Jesus raising Lazarus to life. Keep your, if you can, you can turn with that to me if you'd like, but keep your finger there in 1 Chronicles. In John 11, I'm just going to read, Jesus' prayer, short little prayer, before he raised Lazarus to life. And he says in verse 41 and 42, he says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus wouldn't have had to give thank God. He wouldn't have had to do that. but it was for the benefit of those around him, the benefit of those that was going to witness this miracle. He said, it's because of them that I thank you. And he recognized that the power that he was about to receive to perform this miracle was coming from God, and he thanked him for it. As I understand, it was common understanding that some great miracles like this often came from the devil, and that's what people would believe, that great miracles came from the devil, that power would come from the devil. So Jesus wanted to show where this power came from. And this said a lot to the unbelieving that were in his midst. And we can preach a tremendous sermon to people simply by verbally giving thanks to God. We can preach tremendous sermons to people this way. And this is where verbal thanks is important over just having a heart of thanks. What is our response when people ask, so how was your year? We're getting to the time of the year where things are closing down. We start looking back over the year and people say, so what kind of year did you have? Where's the first place we go? Do we honor God and what he has done for us? How quickly are we to silently nod our heads a bit in a restaurant? I remember especially as a young man eating at a restaurant and how embarrassed I was to simply not only verbally but to even with my actions bow and thank God for my food. It was just a shameful thing for me. It's something I struggled with. You know, you take your hat off and kind of rub your face and put your hat back on and quick read a little prayer and hopefully no one noticed. But I find it a blessing to now with my children to teach them. We sit in a restaurant and just pause and we pray. Maybe even we verbally say a prayer together. And sometimes it's, you wonder, do other people hearing? But you know that it says something. God wants us to verbally express our gratitude. Number two, we learn to be thankful when we realize how unworthy we are. Going back to 1 Chronicles 29, when David is praising God, thanking God for his blessings, he realized how unworthy he was for the blessing that God gave him. Let's continue reading here in verse 14. He says, but who am I, and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer these gifts? He felt so unworthy. Now, who is it that was gathered together here? Let's back up to the first verse of chapter 28. When David is gathering, assembling the people together, he says, and David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that minister to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands, and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. This is the level of men that David had collected. These are the men that were gathered together and who David was talking about in these verses. These weren't all the servants, all the low-down people of the country. This was all the high-ups, the princes, the men that, all the, how does it say it there? The captains, the mighty men. And he says, who am I? And these people that we should be able to offer these gifts to you. He felt his unworthiness. And out of that came forth an abundant thanksgiving to God. The more we think we deserve, the less grateful we become. There's a simple little story I'd like, or illustration. I don't know if it's a true story or not, but it sends home a point. There's a story about a lady named Carol that decided to be nice and give Mrs. Smith a pie one week. And she gave the pie, and Mrs. Smith exclaimed, oh, thank you, you're so nice. You wouldn't have to do that for me. You wouldn't have to do this. And so the next week, Carol decided that she was making pies, and she's going to give another pie to Mrs. Smith. And Mrs. Smith said, Thank you so much. You're so kind. Next week, Carol again gave a pie. Mrs. Smith replied, thanks. The following week, Carol gave another pie to Mrs. Smith. And Mrs. Smith said, well, you're a day late with the pie this week. The next week, she gave another pie. Mrs. Smith's reply was, you know, you ought to try using just a little more sugar and don't bake it quite so long. The last few pies were just a little on the dry side. And if you don't mind, I'm getting a little tired of the apple pie, which I like cherry this time. Next week, Carol was so busy, she was unable to bake one for Mrs. Smith. Mrs. Smith noticed Carol walking by and opened the window and yelled out, hey, where's my pie? Now, that's a kind of a humorous little illustration, but it's too much like we are. We are too much like Mrs. Smith. It's easy for us to get used to our blessing like Mrs. Smith was used to getting the pie every week. And after we enjoy the blessing for a while, we begin to think that we deserve them. And then instead of being thankful, we complain when it isn't quite like how we want it, or when it's not quite the right timing. We learn to be thankful when we realize how unworthy and undeserving we are. David could have said in this story, well, I'm the king of Israel. I'm a great king. I have conquered the land. I deserve all these things. And he could have brought the blessing on himself. I went to battle and I fought. I gained riches through my power. You know, we might think that we deserve better, either financially, materialistically. Maybe it's hardships you're going through. We often think we deserve better. But if you find it hard to be grateful in a situation, ask yourself what it is that you really deserve. We learn to be thankful, and right along with it, we learn to be thankful when we learn to be humble. There's a church sign that I saw one time that said, an humble mind is a soil from which thanksgiving springs. You see, it's humbleness. When we have pride, we lose thankfulness. But it's when we are humble that thanksgiving can grow. An humble mind doesn't think higher of itself than what we should. An humble mind doesn't think it deserves more than what it should. An humble mind realizes that our blessings come from God, and it's because of His goodness and not our own. God had to humble the Israelites to help them to be thankful. We read those verses in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He led them through the wilderness 40 years. It says to humble them. That's why He did that, to humble them. He suffered them to hunger and to lead them through hardships. Why? To humble them. That's what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8. We don't always understand why God leads us through the wilderness or why He causes us to hunger. But if we learn to be more humble through it, it will bring Him glory and honor. We don't always have to understand. We just need to understand that by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. It is through Him. We need to understand, we need to remember that all our needs are met in God. Physical needs, our spiritual needs, emotional needs, whatever needs you may have this morning are met in God. And sometimes God needs to humble us to help us remember that. And when He does, and we understand it, it results in gratitude. Pride separates from God, but gratitude draws us closer to God. Thirdly, we learn to be thankful when we learn to focus on our blessings and not our wants. When the Israelites complained, it was because they focused on their wants. Turn to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 4. It says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Just a little window in here into one of the times when the Israelites were complaining. We learn to be thankful when we learn to focus on our blessings and not our wants. Rather than focus on the needs that God was meeting, the Israelites focused on the things that they desired, the things that they wanted. You know, God was providing them manna. They weren't going hungry. They weren't going thirsty. They had provisions. But instead of focusing on what God was doing for them, they were focusing on what they wished they had, on their wants. And later on, in Numbers, they did focus on what God did for them, and it's a whole different attitude. They got back from warring against the Midianites. I'm just going to turn to it. It's in chapter 31 of Numbers, just a few verses here, just to help us understand. Numbers 31, verse 48. And the officers which were over thousands of the host, the captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, came near unto Moses. And they said unto Moses, Thy servants have taken the sum of the men of war which are under our charge, and there lacketh not one man of us. We have therefore brought an oblation for the Lord, which every man hath gotten of jewels of gold, chains and bracelets, rings and earrings and tablets, to make an atonement for our souls before the Lord. They could have focused on how hard they had it, what they had to do to get these things, the war that they were fighting. They had to go to war, but instead they realized that God had blessed them through this all, and God had provided for them. So they brought an atonement to God. And we need to ask ourselves what we tend to focus on throughout the day. Too many times I tend to focus on my wants and not the provisions that God has provided for me. Do we focus on what we don't have or on what we do have? Do we focus on God, on how God has blessed us, or how we wish something was different? What do I tend to focus on throughout the day? We can help our children to focus on the right things. Starting young, we should teach them to focus on the blessings that they have. For the remainder of the message, you can turn with me now to the New Testament. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Let's start reading at verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And this is speaking of Jesus. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Thou art not found that returned to get. There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Very familiar story. But there are some good points here that we can learn when it comes to thankfulness. We learn to be thankful when we think about how helpless we are without Christ. Look at verse 11 and 12. And it came to pass, verse 12. And as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. So these men were lepers, and they were not allowed to be with their relatives. They were not allowed to be with their co-workers. They were not allowed to be in the city, but they were just cast away outside of the city, away from everyone else. For a day? No. For a week? No. A year? No. They were just cast out there to die. wait to die. There they were, out there alone, just waiting to die because of this terrible disease that they had. They were isolated from society, from their friends, their family. They could no longer enter the temple to worship God. They were not permitted into the temple. Leprosy was a total loss of your way of life. You went out to die. But you know, without Christ, you and I are exactly the same way. And we get that picture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's you and I without Jesus Christ. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We had no hope. There was nothing we could do. Just like these lepers, they were cast out there to die. And that is you and I without Jesus Christ this morning. Cast out to die. Separated from God. Nothing in our power to change it. But we can learn to be thankful if we remember that. If we remember what Christ did for us, it helps us to be thankful. Number five, we learn to be thankful when we think about what we have gained. Verse 13 and 14, they cried out to Jesus, crying out for mercy, because they knew they could do nothing. They cried out to Jesus, and Jesus said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And that sent a message home to them. They said they knew that the only way they could go to the priest is if they were healed, and so they went by faith. The Old Testament law required them to go to the priest for inspection and a proclamation that these men were healed from their leprosy. And these 10 men had very little hope in their lifetime to ever have this happen to them, to ever go to the priest and have that proclamation go out that, yes, these men are healed. They are now welcome to come back into society. But they started going as Jesus commanded. And it says in verse 14 that they were healed. They were cleansed. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We learn to be thankful when we think about what we have gained. These men were able to return back to normal life again, something that was totally unexpected. But they were able to return back to normal life with their friends, with their society, get back to work. They could get into the temple and worship God again. We were healed when Jesus cleansed us, and we gained everything. We gained everything when Jesus cleansed us. We were adopted into the family of God as His own children. We gained salvation, freedom from sin and guilt. We gained redemption. We are now reconciled before God. Oh, we gained so much through Jesus Christ. And we learn to be thankful when we think about what we have gained in Him. Number six, we learn to be thankful when we remember that what was done for us couldn't have been done by us. We learn to be thankful when we think about that what was done for us couldn't have been done by us. We might ask the question, why didn't the other nine come back and thank God, thank Jesus? Only one came back. We just read the story. Only one came back. Why didn't the others came back? After all, their lives were totally restored, back to normal. Look at what they gained. Look at what they were saved from. Why wouldn't you go back? And we can look at them and say, I'm sure if I was one of them, I would be the one that would have went back, right? Wouldn't have you? I'm sure you would have. That's what we tend to think. But how often do we ask for blessings and then forget to thank God for them? Do you ever do that? Have you ever done that? I know I have. We plead to God. We ask God for a blessing and to help us through a situation or whatever it is, a hardship you're going through. And God blesses us. And then we go on with life. We never go back and we thank God for it. Psalm 107, you don't need to turn to it, but it reminds us to give thanks. And there's several verses in verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. All have this phrase. It says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." You know, we can't imagine how excited these men were to get back to see their families and their friends and to get back in society. You can't imagine. Put yourselves in their shoes, how excited they would have been when suddenly they were healed. How excited would have you been to get back into society and back into your normal life? And I can believe that the one that came back was certainly just as excited as the rest to get back in to see his friends and tell everyone about it. But there was one thing in his mind that he had to do first: give thanks to the one that had changed him. The returned leper glorified God, it says in these verses, with a loud voice. He told everyone. Everyone heard. Not only did he cry out with a loud voice, but he glorified God the same, it says. Someone has said, when we stop praising God, we start forgetting God. And when we forget the kind of God we have, we start wandering and start getting hurt. And we are much more likely to take matters into our own hands, to panic, to get impatient, to get discouraged or depressed. When we stop praising God, we start forgetting God. We need to remember that what was done for us could not have been done by us. We need to remember to praise God for that. The more we praise God, the more we learn to trust in God. Number 7, we learn to be thankful when we think about how much our ingratitude grieved God. Verse 17 and 18, Jesus answered this one leper that came back. He said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? I believe there was probably a lot of disappointment in Jesus' statement, in Jesus' words, as he said that. There was probably sadness in his voice. But you know, the other 9, they probably all had valid excuses. Well, they're going to wait to see if the cure was real. They wait to see if it would last. Or I'll thank Jesus when I see him sometime later. Maybe they gave the glory to the priest. I don't know. But they all probably had valid excuses. The story is told of two old friends who bumped into one another in the street one day. One of them looked forlorn, almost on the verge of tears. His friend asked, "What has the world done to you, my old friend?" The sad fellow said, "Let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, my great aunt, whom I hardly know, passed away. I inherited almost $100 million. His friend replied, "That's a lot of money." The sad friend continued, "Then 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never even knew died and left me $85,000 free and clear." "Sounds like you've been blessed." "But you don't understand," he interrupted. "Last week, an uncle died and left me $40,000. Now the other friend was really confused. "Then why do you look so glum?" The sad friend replied, "This week, nothing." You see, that's often how we are. How many times do we show gratitude for something? It grieves God when we are like this man, the sad friend, that he has done so much for us, but yet we are so glum because we didn't get what we want. We don't get everything we think we deserve. And I believe that it brings sadness in the heart of God when we forget to give him thanks. It grieves God. He has done so much for us. When we become accustomed to and expect blessings, we lose our gratefulness. And it takes deliberate action to thank God. We need to remember that. The one leper made the decision to turn around and go back and thank Jesus. We need to resolve in our hearts to take the time, take the effort, whatever it takes. It takes so little effort just to thank God for what he has done for us. But it's so hard to remember sometimes. In closing, I'd like to read to you a verse in 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." God wants, he desires the praise of each and every one of us. And this is not just on Thursday, Thanksgiving, but this should be a part of our lives. It should be a part of our everyday lives. We need to make praise a part of our prayer life. Make praise and thanksgiving to God a part of our daily lives. How much of our prayers are about us? And that's one thing that I keep telling myself. I need to remind myself that I need to spend more time in prayer just thanking God for things. I tend to spend too much time. You get down on my knees and you pray for this, you pray for that, and this need and that need, and it's okay to pray for needs. We need to pray for needs. But we need to thank God for what he has done for us. So let's start praising God for what he has done for us. Let's remember everything that he has done for us. There's many more things that we could look at in the scripture, but God desires a heart of praise from each and every one of us. So let's be faithful in praising him, not only this week, but year round. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you this morning. We thank you for your love to us, Lord. We thank you for what you have done for us. Because we, like the lepers, were cast out of the city. We were cast away from you, away from your love, away from you, Lord. And there was nothing we could do about it. Lord, we were cast away. We were strangers. We were aliens. And we were cast out, just waiting to die. But Lord, because of what you have done for us, what you have provided for us on Calvary, we can now be adopted. We can become a child of yours. And we can come before you into your house. We can come before your presence and worship and glorify you. So Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the many blessings that you give to us. Lord, I just pray that you would help each one of us here to, not only this week, but all throughout the year, every month of the year, to remember your goodness to us and to give you glory and honor for the good things that you give to us. And times that we go through hardships, that we would not become bitter, but that we would use those experiences to humble us. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would just be near to us. And Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are such a great God, an all-knowing God, and an all-powerful God. Lord, I just pray that you would help us each to live for you each and every day of our lives. Help us to be faithful in telling others. Help us to be faithful in verbally expressing our thanks and telling others about the good things that you have done for us, and that we might be faithful in spreading that shining light to those around us. Lord, we just ask that you bless us the remainder of the day here, bless our fellowship after the service that might be uplifting. Lord, I just pray that you would bless us as we go from this place and as we continue this week and as we go about our daily lives, Lord, that we would walk with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.